Welcome into the 19th Hole Golf Show. My name is Ryan Ballingy. You can get in touch with the show. Ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com is my email. You can also reach me on Twitter, twitter.com/Ryan Ballingy. And you can also reach Golf News Net on Twitter and Facebook, twitter.com/Golf News Net. If you're a subscriber to the show via iTunes, first, thank you. Second, if you'd like to check out Golf News Net Radio, which is our 24/7 stream of golf talk radio, you can check that out at golfnewsnet.com/radio or find us on the TuneIn Radio app. We also have one other announcement heading into our PGA merchandise show coverage over at golfnewsnet.com, as well as with Yahoo Sports. We're announcing a new podcast that premiered this week, and it's called Gear Effects. And it is a show that's dedicated each week to the news and happenings of the golf equipment industry, as well as the golf industry at large. And I'll be co-hosting the program with Rick Young of Score Golf in Canada. Rick, if you don't know him, is one of the best in the business, particularly in the equipment and industry game. I'm thrilled to be able to work with him each week and kind of share an insider's view, Rick's view, that is, of the golf world and the golf industry. So look for that each Tuesday. We'll soon have that on iTunes as well. In the meantime, you can check it out on golfnewsnet.com or on SoundCloud. Both Rick and I have tweeted out links to listen to the podcast if you're interested in that. All right, so this week's show really has nothing to do with the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. I mean, we may touch on it to a degree in where we go here, but I doubt it. What I want to talk about this week is some news that came out of the PGA Tour locker room and the Twitter account of Alex Maselli from Golf Week, who tweeted yesterday a notice that was posted in the locker room, presumably at the Sony Open in Hawaii, although I guess it could have been at Kapalua, which kind of dictates a change, an additional hardening of the rules for player and caddy behavior at the 16th hole of TPC Scottsdale host tournament or host site to the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which unfolds this year as most years on Super Bowl weekend, and with the Super Bowl this year in Glendale, University of Phoenix Stadium, some 20 minutes away from TPC Scottsdale by car. There's going to be a lot of people in town, and with Tiger Woods competing in the tournament for the first time since 2001, there's an even greater chance of what could amount to be a sellout, although I don't even know if that's possible, considering some days where they've had near 200,000 people attending this tournament, particularly on Saturday, which is really the craziest day of the week for this event, at least, and for most PGA Tour events, except majors. The sign that Alex Maselli tweeted was a note, and it says, "Please note, at this year's Waste Management Phoenix Open, for fan safety reasons, players and caddies are prohibited from throwing, kicking, or otherwise propelling items into the crowd on the 16th hole." 16th hole is the par 3, as you know, that has typically 20 to 25,000 people around it over the course of the week, all of them consuming a ton of beer, all of them really cheering raunchy type stuff, singing songs, got cheer sheets. It is a fantastic once-a-year atmosphere. Wouldn't want it every week, but once a year, it is great. And it makes this tournament. Otherwise, this tournament has nothing really going for it, being Super Bowl weekend. So, I in one sense, I'm angry, because the PGA Tour and this tournament, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, and the Thunderbirds, the organization that runs this tournament, have let this hole get to this point. They've let it get to the point where there are 25,000 people, where there are skyboxes for a single hole, a little par three, otherwise benign, where there's just a ridiculous amount of alcohol served, where players typically come with swag, at least the well-known ones, for fans, where there's kind of a back and forth with apparently footballs, because Phil Mickelson and Patrick Harrington have been known to kind of toss or kick the ball around in the past. First, last year, they got rid of the caddy races, which I thought was kind of dumb. It was probably a shot at the caddies who have formed their own, I won't call it union, but what amounts to a union, in how they relate to the PGA Tour. That was probably a shot there. And they just didn't want to get sued when caddies who were carrying bags, 50-pound bags, 50-pound staff bags, 150 yards as fast as they can, fall down and hit a cactus and poke an eye out or something. They don't want to get sued for that, even though they were probably not really on the hook for that whatsoever. And I think that this is a measure designed not really to ruin the fun for the fans, but it does. And the fan safety reasons thing kind of sounds stupid. But I guess here's where the PGA Tour is trying to come from. As we mentioned, there are 20 to 25,000 people around that hole every day. There are a lot of them in the tee box, or in the area around the tee box, behind or flanking it left and right. And a lot of those people are drunk. They get there early and they day drink. And they drink a lot of beer, and they get rowdy, which is the fun of the hole. The downside is, if a player wants to come in and have some fun with the crowd by interacting with them, by throwing a football around, handing out swag, maybe they have a t-shirt cannon, I don't know. But if they're interacting with the fans in a way that they could throw or hit somebody in the eye, in the face, in the groin, whatever, and injure them, then the PGA Tour fears they could be sued. And I don't think they want to deal with that kind of litigation. They deal with enough dumb litigation as it is. So I guess they figure, if we can't regulate 20,000 drunk people, then we're going to regulate the 156 players in the field who come through this hole on Thursday and Friday, and then the players who make the cut who come through the hole Saturday and Sunday. That's the best I can think of that they're trying to do. So why now? Why in 2015? Why 20 years after this hole started to become, 25 years after this hole started to become what it is today, what it has evolved into? I don't get that aspect of it. You could have regulated this at any time in that 20-year stretch. They could have clamped down whenever they wanted. But the PGA Tour tries to ride the line between having fun, real fun, and safe fun. And it's almost kind of like having the cool dad, and then the cool dad gets the stern look from the mom, or vice versa, and all of a sudden, cool dad or cool mom becomes lame dad or lame mom. Because someone looked at them in the wrong way and told them they shouldn't parent that way. And that's just a bummer. Because and I don't know if Tiger Woods being in this tournament really has any influence on it. As I mentioned, he hasn't been in the field since 2001. So he hasn't been a part of this tournament for 13 years, and all of a sudden there's this notice that goes up. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me for Tiger Woods to have an influence on this decision, because what was he going to do? It's not like he was going to all of a sudden start shooting Nike golf balls into the stands or anything like that for people. That's just not who he is, and I don't think that's what he was aiming to do. And it's not like this rule really has anything to do with fans throwing stuff at the players. Because if it did, then they should have cracked down on this stuff 17 years ago. 18 years ago, when Tiger Woods made his hole-in-one at this hole. Because if you'll remember, A, the hole wasn't as big in terms of the number of people around it then. There weren't, the grandstands weren't as big, there certainly weren't skyboxes. But the reaction to that hole-in-one was absolutely bonkers. There were people throwing beer, full beers, into the air, toward Woods, beer bottles. Everybody was kind of, it was pandemonium. If you're of a certain person of a certain age, it almost kind of reminded you of how every WCW Monday Nitro finished between 1995 and 1998. Someone throwing crap into the ring at the end of the episode. And that's kind of how it felt when Woods made his hole-in-one. Why didn't the PGA Tour come out then and say, we're only going to plastic bottles, or we're taking away those cups, or you can't throw that stuff? They kind of just let that go. They let that moment happen, and they didn't crack down. So what happened all of a sudden to crackdown here? I don't get that. But the nice thing about this is, and I'm sure that this is just a mere loophole that will be closed, the sign only says, no, this stuff can't happen on the 16th hole. It said nothing about the drivable 17th or the other 16 holes in the golf course. So maybe there'll be some players who try to interact with fans on a different hole. And I don't think that's the point of this either. I think this was just kind of, no one thought, hey, there's 16 or 17 other holes in the golf course that this could happen on and technically wouldn't violate this notice. The PGA Tour needs more things like this. I know I mentioned a moment ago that the 16th hole of TPC Scottsdale is not something to be duplicated every week. And it's great for a once-a-year thing. But there could be other ways to create holes like this. On the nationwide web.com tour, this happened when it was the nationwide tour, there's the stop where they had happy hour at the hole. It's a par 3. I forget what tournament it was. But there was a happy hour special. So if you were at the hole when someone made a birdie on the par three, it was for like for the next 10 minutes. So for one group, the beers were like a dollar or half off or something like that. A really good deal, especially considering what you probably pay for beer at a PGA Tour event is like $8, $9, $10 for a pint, which is ridiculous, and it's usually crappy beer. So that's a really solid discount. But guess what? Even if you were two-fisting and that was the limit, you could still get pretty drunk pretty fast. And the hole wasn't an easy one. It's not like it was a 100-yard hole where everybody was making birdie and you were just pounding beers all afternoon. It was I think it was a 200-yard hole. So birdie was hard to come by. But that was a great idea, especially for a tournament on the web.com tour that most people don't show up to a web.com tour event unless you're in a kind of smaller market that's never going to see anything even close to a PGA Tour event or a major championship. And that's what made that special, made that cool and different. You could do that at the PGA Tour stop. You could do that at the Quicken Loans National where you could have it on the par 3 seconds, a really long hole. You could have it on the 10th hole, overlooking the 18th hole as well. You could have that as a pretty cool thing. There's other stuff like that. Wyndham has a beach that you can hang out on. I think it's on the 15th hole at Sedgefield. There are people getting drunk there. Obviously, there's no interaction between fans and players there, but yeah, I just don't get why there are certain things. Basically, the line drawn here is you can't interact with the fans in a way that might injure them because they're stupid and drunk. Well, I think when you sign up to go to a PGA Tour event and you get in the stand and you're double-fisting beers at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. or 7 a.m., then you're kind of tacitly agreeing that if I get bonked in the eye with a dead shank or a football or what have you, it's kind of my fault. And I just don't see how the PGA Tour thinks anything good's going to come out of this. I really don't. What's the positive? Someone doesn't get hurt. I'm just not buying that. So, sucking the fun out of the really one of the few truly fun events on the PGA Tour schedule. Maybe they'll make up for it in some way. Maybe they'll change this rule in the next 12 hours. I doubt it, but you never know. So that's that topic. Let's talk a little bit about the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. I don't want to talk about the result entirely, but I do want to talk about Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed won this tournament, in part thanks to Jimmy Walker's stunning bogey on the 14th hole of the final round, and he never recovered. Mentally, never looked the same. Physically, never swung the same. And in the playoff was, I think, just kind of hoping to be put out of his misery. And Patrick Reed did that with, I think it was an 18-foot birdie putt on the first playoff hole to win the thing. He now has 4 PGA Tour wins. He has 4 PGA Tour wins in his last 35 starts, dating back to the 2013 Wyndham Championship, his first PGA Tour win. And he has 2 wins last year. He had one at the Humana, and then he had one in Doral where he made his top 5 comment, and then he sucked for 2 months after that. So it had been since last March, he had not won a PGA Tour event. So 9 months, basically, 10 months almost, for him to have not won a PGA Tour event. And I think he's undergone a lot of changes in his life in those 10 months. Changes that are going to make him a much more fierce player than the guy who blurted out that he thought he was a top 5 player in the world. Which, by the way, at the time, he probably was. But what happened in those 10 months? First, he missed the cut of the Masters when everyone was kind of jonesing for him. Given the fact that he was an Augusta State guy, Georgia Regents University is what they're called now, Augusta State guy, everyone thought, oh, well, he's got the Augusta connection. Of course he's going to do great. 71-79 trunk slam, or 73-79 trunk slam, whatever it was. Second round, 79 trunk slam. And everyone was like, ha ha ha, top 5 bad. And then he stung for another month or two after that. And then he started to kind of build himself back up. He became a dad. His wife Justine gave birth to their first child, Windsor. Cool name, by the way. And I think that probably changed Patrick a little bit, made him realize that. And that's being a young dad, dude. I'm almost 32. I'll be 32 in April. I can't believe I'm saying that. My son is 2. So my wife gave birth to our son when I was 29. She's 2 years old at 31. So I'm kind of an older dad. I mean, not old for first time, but older dad given kind of comparison to Patrick. I don't know how he's handling that at 24. At 24, I was still losing weight when I drank alcohol. And a lot of it. That's how I was living my life at 24. That was my diet. Don't work out, go drink 12 beers, and you might lose a pound. That was where it was. Not married, not with a kid, not making millions, not doing any of that. So kudos to Patrick Reed, first of all, for even making it this far with that attitude and being able to kind of surround this and be really good in the world of golf, be a top 15 player in the world right now. But he became a dad. He made the Ryder Cup team, which I think was really the turning point for him, because it was that affirmation that he belonged and that he was one of the top, at least American players in the world, and he was brilliant with Jordan Spieth, just brilliant, and that he shushed the European crowd when he was in his singles match against, what was it, Stenson. That took balls. That took serious balls. And he the kind of guts he was displaying in doing that, performing that way, he just didn't know any better. I mean, he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know you're not supposed to do that. Or maybe he does know and he just doesn't care. But he doesn't live life with regret or shame or probably even all that much self-awareness, which allowed him to do that. And then 2 months later, all of that goodwill built up, some of that is just pissed away by calling himself an effing effort at the WGC HSBC champion. Said it to himself, got caught by a mic. Golf Channel chose to air it and let people know what Reed had said, even though really they could have just skipped past it. But I think they chose to make an example of Patrick Reed a little bit. And I don't think consciously they're like, we're going to get Patrick Reed, but so much as this guy said this, and we just got Ted Bishop for calling Ian Poulter a little girl, so you got to get Patrick Reed for calling himself a gay slur. And he took that well as you're going to take it. He said, I shouldn't have said that, and I'm going to do better. Who knows the next time Patrick Reed says something stupid? It could happen. It may never happen again. But Patrick Reed really hasn't fundamentally changed in terms of his enthusiasm and his willingness to speak to the media, so I think that's a good indication. But then he comes here, comes to Kapalua, and I don't think there was really any big reason for anyone to think he was going to win the tournament. A lot of people, I think we did in Fantasy Picks, thought he was going to do pretty well, but I don't think anyone had him as the winner. And he goes out and wins the thing. And the thing I really like about Patrick Reed competitively is that when he gets the opportunity to win, he tends to close the deal. And there are not a lot of guys who can say that. And I'm looking at Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler as examples. The guys that we, and I do it, lift them up as the future of the game. Guess who has 4 PGA Tour wins? Not Spieth, not Fowler. In fact, Patrick Reed has double the number of PGA Tour wins those two guys have combined, which is one each. Obviously, Spieth won 2 tournaments at the end of the year, so he has 3 pro wins. I understand that. But in terms of official PGA Tour swag and the record, it's double. And at this point in his life, he is one of 4 guys in the last 25 years on the PGA Tour to have at least four wins by the time he turns 25, which will be next August. The other guys in that company are Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, and Sergio Garcia. 2 of those guys are legends or a legend in the making. Sergio turned out pretty good, may still have a major or 2 in him. This is not all to say that Patrick Reed is all of a sudden going to start peeling off major championship wins as the favorite to win the Masters or anything like that. I don't know, and I don't want to say that what he did last year at Augusta National informs what could happen this year, because I think he was distracted and probably depressed, at least in morally speaking, in the way of how much grief he got for calling himself top 5 player and feeling the pressure to try and prove it. I don't think he feels that now. And I think he has decided, rightfully so, that his play is going to tell people whether or not he is a top 5 player in the world. And with each successive win, and I'm willing to wager there's another this year, it may be 6 months from now, but I think there's another this year, then He's got five wins. He's got 5 wins in 425. How can you not start to include him in these conversations we've been having? Oh, Jason Day's just in his late 20s. Ricky Fowler's in late 20s. Jordan Spieth's great. Rory McIlroy's great. We're going to have a big five. Big five in their 20s. It's coming. And we may have a big six when Hideki Matsuyama wins for a second time, because he got close to a Kapalua, and I wouldn't be shocked if he wins in the very near future, especially focusing on the PGA Tour and the major championships this year. If you are a golf fan, you have to be absolutely jazzed about the competitive product the PGA Tour is putting out right now. Yes, you will not see Phil every week. You will not see Rory every week, and you will not see Tiger every week. But nor will you see really any of the top 50 every week. That's always been a myth. Basically, for the last 25 years, it's been a myth. So, you're not going to see the top guys every week. When you do see some of the top guys together, it does seem to be the case that a lot of them are often in contention. And you can't ask for more from the competitive standpoint. I know there were a lot of playoffs a few years ago. That was very exciting. 17 of them in a year. Tied the record. Maybe set the record. Can't remember off the top of my head. But this is going to be the future of golf. This is where it starts. And I'm so excited to see what Phil and Tiger do in response, what Ernie Els does in response, what the old guard does. They have one last pushback into them to win some major championships, to win a significant number of PGA Tour events in a season with the amount of talent, the amount of generational talent that is now taking shape and becoming winners, or at least contenders in majors in the case of Ricky Fowler, on the reg. It's great. It's a really great time for golf. This is a little bit of a truncated show this week. We're just going to go 22 minutes, maybe 3 minutes shorter than usual, but we don't want to just drag on things here for the sake of dragging on. So we're going to wrap up shop here. Next week, we'll be at the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando. We'll probably try to do an interview-based program instead of just kind of the typical monologue-type stuff that we're doing. And we'll try to intersperse those in throughout the year. For those of you who never listened to this show in the 10 years before this year, more than 10 years before this year that we did this show, it used to be an hour-long format where we had a guest or two, sometimes three guests, and I talked for 15 minutes. And then over the years, it kind of phased out some of the guests and just turned into me. Well, I've always loved about this show that we've had the opportunity to talk to people who otherwise you may not hear from, or you might not hear from in the way that you hear from them on this show. So we want to make that a part of the 19th Hole Golf Show in 2015 and beyond, and you can expect to hear that on this program. Even if it's 10 to 12 minutes a week, it's just half interview, half me. Sometimes it could be the whole show of an interview, but we want to bring that to you. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Follow me on Twitter, @RyanBallenge, and Golf News Net is on Twitter and Facebook, twitter.com/golfnewsnet, facebook.com/golfnewsnet. Until next time, from the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, Florida, I'm Ryan Ballengee saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week on the 19th Hole Golf Show.